Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, today we transition from 2 Peter to Colossians. As we take up another one of Paul's epistles now, after having studied epistles by other authors, and we will return to the Apostle Paul and Colossians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Another one of Paul's epistles. Paul is the human author of 13 of the 27 books of the New Testament. If they were all the same length, we could say that he is author of nearly half of the New Testament. However, all of the New Testament books are not of the same length, and some of the Gospels, not penned by Paul, are of considerable length. Matthew, 28 chapters. Mark's only 16, but that would be a long epistle. Romans is 16 chapters, and none of the other epistles of Paul reach that length. Luke is 24 chapters, and John is 21. So, and then there's Acts, which is 28 chapters. So, no, Paul is not author of half of the New Testament, if you take it by the number of words. I suppose maybe he would fit someplace maybe around between a quarter and a third. I think closer to a third. But anyway, you look at it, he is the most significant human author represented in the New Testament scriptures. Nobody else even comes close. Now, we do know that all of the Bible, all 66 books of the Bible, are written by God. Holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. But that's the perpetual paradox, I guess you might say, of the scriptures, namely that they are, on the one hand, the words of God, and on the other hand, the words of men, and they are both. And it is very much, though not identical, but very much like the incarnation of Jesus Christ. He is 100% God and 100% man, or man, I should say. How can you say that? How could one man be 200%, 100% God and 100% man? Well, it wouldn't work that way with anybody else, but it works that way with the incarnate Son of God. That's the mystery, that's the paradox, but that's the truth. And in a very real sense, that's also true of the Bible. It is 100% the Word of God, but it is 100% the words of men. How do you explain that? Well, I will try to explain it from time to time as I go along, but I simply stated it this time. And Paul is one of those men that God chose to write the most significant part of the New Testament scriptures. Well, I do need to pause and welcome you to this Wednesday, August 5 edition of the Beacon Broadcast, and to thank those whose financial gifts enable us to continue teaching God's Word on this station. Well, Colossians is an important book, though not one of the most common ones as far as those that are commonly preached. But it is a very important one. It is, like all of the books written by Paul, In the New Testament, it is an epistle, that is, a letter. Why do we call them epistles rather than letters? Well, that's just, it's a synonym. It's not a term that we use frequently in our day. We could call it a letter, but we generally call it an epistle. That's more traditional biblical language. An epistle is not the wife of an apostle. An epistle is a letter, many of which were penned by apostles, 13 of which were penned by the Apostle Paul. And therefore, as an epistle, it follows the customary format of that day. Even letters are falling a bit out of vogue in our day because technology is changing so much. But when I was in school, I was taught how to write a letter, particularly a business letter. Personal letters are a bit more informal, so you don't necessarily include all of the elements. But if you're going to succeed in life, you need to be able to write a business letter in the proper form. And there are times when that's the only thing that can be done properly. A lot of communication can take place with texting and tweeting and emails. I still use a lot of emails. Some people say that that's gotten pretty old-fashioned, but I find that that's a very effective way to communicate. And so I do it a lot, probably more even than any other form. But there are many times in my work as a pastor when an email will not do. A formal letter is required. And there is a standard format, and I won't go through that. This is not a class in English or in writing, but I'm just to point out that we have our customary format. What comes first, what comes second, where you put the date, where you put the inside address, where you put the salutation, where you put the body of the letter, where you put the signature, and so forth. We have our customary format. It's different in our day than it was in Paul's day, but Paul's day had its customary format, and he followed the format of his day. And in his day, the format was you give the name of the author first and the recipient second, and then a greeting, and then you transition into the body of the letter. And that's exactly what Paul does. That's why so many of our New Testament books sound like this. And I read again verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And there in the space of two verses, you have three elements of the epistolary form of his day. Number one, to identify the author. Number two, to identify the recipients. And number three, to issue a formal greeting. But Paul, who follows the epistolary format of his day, always transforms those customs into expressions of Christian truth. It's a wonderful to see how he does that. But he does, and we'll point those things out along the way. But we'll start with the identification of the author, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. We recognize that title, we recognize that identification, we recognize that terminology. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. But we need to understand the full significance of what that means. What is an apostle? What is an apostle? An apostle of anyone or anything. What is an apostle? Well, the verb form of the noun apostle means to send. The noun form means a sent one. And an apostle is one who is a commissioned or authorized messenger. One who has been sent on a mission, sent with a commission. One who has been authorized to carry a message or to carry out a mission. One who has been sent. In other words, it requires a sender and a mission. That's what an apostle is, commissioned or authorized messenger. You will find at times in the New Testament references to apostles of one of the churches, the church at Jerusalem, and so forth, or even, on occasion, men that are identified as apostles who are apparently apostles of an apostle. You say, whoop, run that by me again. What do you mean there? Well, Paul was an apostle of Jesus Christ, and we'll talk more about that in a moment. But that was a particular position. He had been selected and prepared, identified, and commissioned as an apostle of Jesus Christ, and there are only a select number of those. But Paul often commissioned men to represent him. Timothy could accurately be called an apostle of Paul, as could Titus, as could others who were sent by Paul with a message, sometimes to carry one or more of his epistles, sometimes to carry out a mission that he sent them to carry out. And so an apostle could be an apostle of anyone, could be an apostle of a church that commissions and sends somebody out to represent them, or it could be an apostle of an apostle. Paul is an apostle. He's a commissioned one, a sent one, but not just anyone. He is an apostle of Jesus Christ, and that's what makes his apostleship so tremendously significant. In other words, Paul was commissioned and authorized as a messenger of Christ. Please understand how important that is. Paul was a commissioned and authorized messenger of Christ. Christ selected him. Christ called him. Christ commissioned him. Christ sent him. Christ gave him his message and told him to deliver it. He is a commissioned and authorized messenger of Christ. I don't think we understand the significance of that. I don't think we understand how important were the apostles of Christ. We know there were apostles of Christ, and we generally know who they are. There were 12 apostles originally. And then Judas betrayed Christ and committed suicide, but he'd already left the number. So then the number was reduced to 11. And then we know that another one by the name of Matthias was selected by the church in Acts chapter 1 to take the place of Judas. So now the number's back up to 12. Evidently, the apostles thought it was important to have a full complement of apostles. Christ chose 12. We need 12. And evidently, they had the direction of the Holy Spirit in that as well. But Christ also selected one more, 13, the Apostle Paul, who calls himself in one place an apostle born out of due season, I think is the way the Authorized Version puts it. In other words, he is an apostle like the other apostles, but he wasn't among the other apostles. He didn't come into his apostleship in quite the same way as the others, and yet in some respects he did come in the same way. He was called, commissioned, authorized, and sent by Jesus Christ just like they were, but in his case, by the risen and ascended Christ. Christ from heaven called and commissioned and sent him. The others were all appointed by Christ upon earth, save the last one, Matthias, who was appointed by the other apostles upon earth after Christ had gone back to heaven. But Paul insists over and over again throughout the New Testament that he is an apostle of Jesus Christ, every bit as much so as Peter or James or John or any of the other apostles. But he recognizes that there are some things about his apostleship that seem to be a bit irregular compared to theirs. And so it is important to understand the significance of this term, apostle of Jesus Christ. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.